Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you this morning as we gather here together. If you're joining us online this morning, we're also really glad that you're with us as we've gathered together to worship our great God. This morning, we're going to start off with a song that we've been learning around here that just simply says, God, we are here for you, and we welcome you into this place with the praise of our lips. I invite you to stand this morning, and let's begin and worship him from the depth of our being this morning. One.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven, fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your anthem, your renown fill the sky. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place.
We welcome you.
We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place.
Really special treat. The end of the month, we at Warren Community, we have many missionaries that we support, and at the end of the month, we change our focus for the next month for a next set of missionaries. And sometimes we have the opportunity to tell you about them. Sometimes we have the opportunity to have a little video clip that's sent from the missionaries that are in the field. But today we have a very special treat because our missionaries are here. Woohoo! So I wanted to introduce you to Stephen and Satomi Sakamoto. They're going to be coming up, and they're going to be sharing with us the ministry and the mission. As the Lord would have it, he decided to allow them to stay with us for a while, or at least in the area. So please come on up here, and you can share with us the ministry that's going on.
Thank you, Pastor Carey. Good morning. We're glad to be here. Time just passes by so fast. We're driving up. You folks have stood with us for over 20 years, and that's God. And it's you too, so we thank you. By your prayers and your support, you are involved in our lives and those that we minister to in Japan and around the world. And we'd like to talk a little bit about our lives and the work he has us in.
Most recently, we helped with the Saito Newtown Church Plant. Last May 2019, the Saito Newtown Church Plant started every week Sunday worship services.
The church plant was unusual in that there were four foreign missionary families assigned to that church plant. We helped with teaching seeker Bible studies, helping with mother and child outreaches, and making contact with our immediate neighbors.
Our hearts are to make disciple makers. Stefan started three huddles for the purpose of making disciple makers. One of those was weekly, with some members of our church plant core team. Those weekly huddles were such refreshing oasis times for us all.
Just a little aside here. You'd think after over 20 years of doing this, we would not be nervous. But we still are. Because of the COVID-19 worldwide situation, we are currently stuck in the U.S. The COVID situation is very severe in the U.S., so the Japanese government will not allow non-nationals, Stefan, to re-enter Japan because we are in the U.S. now. No one knows when our situation will change. It may be weeks. It may be months.
However, through the internet, we still can lead a seeker Bible study every week. Stefan can lead making disciple makers huddles for every week. And we will slowly restart other meetings soon. We thank God for today's technology.
Yeah. As I mentioned, due to the COVID situation, we do not know exactly when we can return to Japan. So please pray for the Saito Newtown Church Plant, for the missionaries and leaders, that God would guide them during this COVID period. They are making progress in the work there. In the meantime, we desire to use our time here in the States to visit and encourage supporting churches as we are able to.
Please pray that we protect our daily time with God, regardless of all the changes going on in our lives. Please pray for us as we wait until Japan allowed Stefan to re-enter Japan, and that we learn to be content where God has us now at the moment.
Please pray for our two daughters, Jesse and Jenny, and their husbands and their children. Jesse gave birth 8 weeks ago to a beautiful baby girl. They named her Mina. Jenny has Sophia, 2 years old, and is due with their second child in early September.
Please pray that Jesse and Jenny and their husbands will draw close to God and grow in their dependence on Him for their own lives, their marriages, and for their parenting.
Thank you.
You guys want to stay up here? We'll pray. Let's pray over them, all right? So let's pray. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this family and the ministry that is going on. Generations are being born unto you through the ministry and the work that they're doing. Lord, we would ask that you would open the doors for them to be able to go home, to be able to continue ministry face-to-face. We know with this, just this COVID thing that is happening, God, you're still in control. You're bigger than this. And you have a plan and a purpose, and your plans will not be thwarted. God, you are greater than all this. And Lord, I know that as vessels that you move us and you place us in the appropriate areas and arenas for a specific time. So for whatever you have for them here now, may they be able to see the ministry opportunity that's afforded them here in the U.S. as in a sense, they're missionaries to us right now, here in our own country. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to strengthen them and be with their kids, their families, their grandkids, and bless them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. On your heart. But let's pray as we just honor God for his provision in our lives. God, we thank you for all that you've given to us. You are amazing and kind. That, God, you give to us eternal life and that much more. God, we are here, your kids, and honoring you this day, this Sabbath day that has been set aside to honor and to worship you, and that's what we want to do. We worship you with our lives. We worship you with the first fruits of that which you've given to us. So, Lord, may this offering that is given this week be an act of worship and saying, God, look at this is what you gave us. We want to give back to you. God, may we give to you praise with our hearts and with our voices and with our lives. Even now, corporately, whether online or in this room, may we corporately worship you. And Father, may you prepare our hearts to receive just a promise that you've given to us here in Peter about a living hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're able to, let's stand and let's give thanks. Let's worship God for the great things He's done.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great. In your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You have done great things, God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave, you Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. And hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Presence this morning. This is why we are here. We are here for you this morning. And as we have lifted our voice in song, we have declared who you are, what you have done for us. We have given you thanks for the great things that you have done, for you are a great God, and you are good all the time. We thank you for that amazing grace, that grace that you have given us that allows us to even come into your presence as we have this morning. And it's all based upon the song we just sang, that you, that when we called to you, you answered. And you rescued each one of us. You took us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us and have put us into the kingdom of light, that magnificent light that reveals who you are. So thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. We love you. We worship you as the one true God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, on behalf of all those that are at the campout, I think there's, what, about 120, 130, something like that, that was out there. We had a great time. We had church last night. So you guys technically are second service. I got to tell you, one of the highlights of the campout was the bike parade. They strapped glow sticks to bicycles, to people, to all kinds of things. And they went around these loops. And these kids were just racing around at night. And just, it was just an amazing thing to be able to gather together and to celebrate each other in community. And that's what we want to do this morning. Sometimes, though, it's hard to celebrate. Sometimes it's just difficult. In light of our world today, the circumstances that are happening around us, and the constant pressure that's going on, there is a danger of losing hope. When you are constantly under a pressure and of an oppression, and I believe this, church, that we are under oppression. There is a demonic oppression that is over the whole world. But specifically, I think there's a intentional action against the church where we get to a place where we go, is it ever going to get any better? So my question to you, maybe to ponder as we get into this passage here in Peter, is what will cause you to lose hope? What will cause you to become despaired, discouraged? Have you been in a place of hopelessness? The answer for all of us is yes, we probably have. I don't know anybody that has not ever experienced at some point in time a period of hopelessness in their journey, in their life's journey, because we have trials. We have difficulties. There was a time, a legend, a story, where the devil decided that he had a lot of tools that weren't really being used, so he decided to do a garage sale. It's a legend. It's a story. It's not real. But for the purpose of application, we look at this story, and I thought it was pertinent because he's got everything laid out. And all his little demons and minions, they all decided to come and see what kind of tool Satan has and what he's capable of. And so they come and they look at this tool and that tool and all of these different things that were there. And one demon came to him and said, "Can I have that one?" And he says, "No, you can't have that one. That one's mine." And it was an odd-shaped tool. It was weird looking, and he said, "Well, why? What is it so special?" He says, "All the tools I have, they work, but nothing works like this one. It is hopelessness. You see, with this tool of hopelessness, I can dig deep inside someone's heart, and I can deflate them. I can get into their mind and their thinking, and I can get them to a place of despair and frustration that all these other tools won't get. I can get them to a place of questioning God. This tool of hopelessness, it's valuable to me because it's powerful to rob even the greatest saint of their confidence. Is that true today? It is. Because we get to this place where even though we trust in God, we know our faith is in Jesus for our salvation, and all of these things in this flesh, we struggle because of the outward pressures and the oppressions that come in and attack us and get us to a place of saying, there is no hope of this getting any better. We become temporal-minded and we lose sight of the eternal values and gifts that God has given to us. And maybe you're in that place with COVID and all the disease and all the stuff that's going on, or maybe there's a terminal illness that's going on in your life or within your family, and you lose this sense of hope, and you become hopeless in the circumstances, hopeless in the situation. Maybe financially you're struggling. Will I ever get out of debt? And you lose hope. Maybe socially, will I ever have friends? Will it, whatever the case is, if Satan can get us to lose hope, he wins because he gets into the deepest part of your being and will rob you of your joy. Even a believer can be robbed of their joy if he robs you of your hopelessness, of your hope. But Peter says, no, that should not be so for a believer. And so he writes this letter to the believers that were struggling. You see, Christians at this time were suffering under the power of Nero. They were being persecuted. They were the odd guys out in an empire that was worshiping all of these other gods. But for believers, they had to stand fast on the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be separate. So they were being oppressed. They were being made fun of. They were taken to the circus, fed to the lions, made human tiki torches and all of these things. These believers were struggling, and so Peter writes this letter to all of these children in the faith to say, look it, we have a hope. Don't lose it. You have certain gifts that will never be robbed, taken away. These are the things that we need to trust in. And so he calls us to look to that, what he says is a living hope. And that living hope has a strong foundation. Let's get into the Word and take a look and see what that foundation is. I'm going to ask that you stand. I know we've stood for worship and all these things. I want to stand out of respect for God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12 says this. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God and through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, that is the living hope, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And through you, I'm sorry, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. things into which angels long to look. God, we ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would see that we have a living hope, a gracious hope, a merciful hope that carries us through the darkest of days. We are privileged to have this gift that is reserved in heaven, never, ever to be lost. And for that, we can praise you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. So what is Peter saying? Well, verses 3 through 5, he comes right out and he says, look it, after the introduction, look it, you can praise God because the blessings of new life. If you don't feel like praising God for anything else, you can praise God for the fact that you are born again, that you are saved, that your life is not going to end on this planet, in this terrestrial, but you have life eternal. That is amazing to think about, to be able to enjoy. And he says, blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is actually a eulogy. The word blessed there is where we get our word eulogy from. And you say, well, eulogy, isn't that like when somebody dies? No, it just means to speak well of, to provide blessing, to speak well of somebody. We can speak well of God. We can eulogize, and that's what this is. In fact, this is like a doxology, the ability to be able to sing a song of praise. As Peter's writing this, it's a, kind of like a praise song of what God has done and what God has given to us. When you start feeling hopeless, stop and say, well, wait a minute, what has God given to me? What do I have? It's this God and Father that has given us a new birth to a living hope and a resurrection. Where would you be right now? Where would you be right now if God did not call you to be born again? Where would you be right now if you did not have the guarantee of eternal life? I can tell you, you would be spiritually dead and on the road to hell. Hell is real. Eternal damnation and separation from God is the judgment for sin. And unless that sin is paid for, and everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, unless that is paid for, and unless God redeems you and reconciles himself, you to himself through his son Jesus, you will die in those sins. God did not have to save you. But God, out of his abundant love and mercy, chose to. Where would you be in a miserable place? Where would you be? Truly hopeless. But because God has called you out and caused you to be born again by the work of his Spirit, as Jesus would explain to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, this work of God in coming and giving us a new life, born again to a new life, being born again, literally, born again is a new existence. You are born out of death. You were dead and you were born unto eternal life. Given a new existence. Do I have hope? Yes. Why? Because I am a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new in Christ. Can I have hope in that? Yes. Because I'm a new and living creation. The trajectory of my eternity has been changed because of the work of God. That gives me hope. And I don't have to walk around like hopeless people. Are there hopeless people in the world today? We call them zombies. Spiritual zombies. You know, the kids make fun of all the zombies, you know, but if you ever take a look at a zombie, they're just... They're walking dead. But we are alive because we've been born again. We've been born again to two things, as Peter would say. You're born again to a living hope, and not just a living hope, but an eternal inheritance. I mean, if it was an infomercial, it would say, accept Jesus and today you will have eternal life. But there's more. You'll have an eternal inheritance. If eternal life with God was not enough, you have something stored for you that is far beyond just living for eternity with God. And you say, well, that's good. Well, what is greater? It's the eternal inheritance as a child of God that is reserved for you in heaven, that can never be taken away. That's what you were born again to, this living hope. One of the things that we look at, we say, well, okay, I have this living hope and it exists in heaven, but I'm in hell right now. Question. When a tree is planted, is that tree always going to stay that same size as it's growing? No. It continues to grow and grow and grow in its existence. When you are born again, you are born again as a spiritual baby. But you continue to grow and grow and grow. The living hope, get this, is growing in you right now as you continue to grow in what's called the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you know about Jesus, the more you're growing. The more you're growing, the more you're learning about God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's love. And the more that happens, you continue to mature and you mature and mature. And that hope becomes stronger. And you say, well, Carrie, I'm struggling with hopelessness. My challenge to you is this. Are you growing in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, or are you growing in the faith and knowledge of Facebook? Because whatever is fertilizing your hope is going to be what helps that to grow. God has given us a living hope, and it's a hope not based on anything temporal, but eternal. And that hope is based on Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this great mercy that he's given to us, this inheritance, if you look at verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is, note, imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, and is reserved for you in heaven. There is a part of God's presence, his power, his mercy, that is implanted into you, that is giving you a hope looking forward for something that will never be destroyed. Can you name one thing on this temporal earth that is eternal? Nothing. Nothing. Everything. Everything that is eternal rests in the heavens. Heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But God's word's not going to pass away. In the end, at the end of, if you want to know the outcome, just read the end of the book. Go to Revelation, where God is going to destroy all the old heaven, all the old earth. It's sin, Satan, all of that's going to go away. And he's going to install a new heaven, a new earth, and eternity. That's a guarantee. Everything in this world is going to rust and get used up, but salvation is eternally secure. It is not touched by the things of this earth. When you die as a Christ follower, when you die, what happens? To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. For how long? For eternity. What do you shed? You shed that which is dead, this flesh. You leave the place that is dead. God has given us this inheritance that is, as he says, is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. Notice, reserved for you in heaven. I liken this to this little box. I think they still have them. You find them in a bank. You go to a bank and there's only two people that have a key for it. Right? You and the banker. They're called what? Safe deposit boxes. It's secured. It's supposed to be the most secure thing. The idea is you put your valuables, your wills, you know, whatever you want to put into the safe deposit box that's there. And the banker has the key, you have a key, and there it is held secure. Do you understand that God has in a safety deposit box your eternal security? Satan cannot touch it. It is secure forever. God has got the key. You have a key. You know what that key is? Faith. It's faith. We access the confidence of eternal security through faith. God's got the key, and He unlocks it. And when we go to God, and we say, God, I'm doubting, I'm struggling, what's going on? And He says, come here, let me show you something. And He opens it up, and by faith, we open it up, and He says, this is reserved for you. You can't have it now in totality, but you're living in the hope of accessing it for eternity. When we understand it is a future salvation, as Peter would say in verse 5, this future salvation that is set for you who are protected by the power of God. The other aspect of this eternal hope is that we have been protected by God and are continuing to be protected by God. By the power of God, to be able to be in this. He says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. It is that faith journey that carries us through up unto receiving that inheritance. We don't walk by sight, or we shouldn't. Every time you walk by sight, what ends up happening? You trip. You stumble. You look at the things around you, and you go, well, God, I don't know how you're going to like deal with this COVID thing. I can tell you that there are huge unintentional consequences that are happening as a result of this COVID thing that is for God's glory. I've shared with, and I'm just going to kind of share that there is a revival that's going on down in Huntington Beach that's unmatched right now. A group of people saturate OC. They're going out to the beaches. You can't have church in California. Guess where we're going to have church? Out at the beach. Lifeguard Tower 20. Serious. Every Friday, Saturday night, people are getting saved, and they're walking them right down to the water, and they're baptizing them in the surf. You know? You look at it. Can't touch it. Our plan, God's plan, is eternally secure. And God has an inheritance that is for you that's guarded. And there is no one that is greater than God. Our inheritance is guarded, protected by God. When you start feeling hopeless, going, well, God, I don't know if you're strong enough. You're walking by sight and not by faith. And He says it's through faith. Why did they need to know this? They needed to know that they could have joy, that there is this salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time. What is the last time? I believe this last time, this eschatology, this end days, it's not necessarily the last time you take breath. I could believe the last time is right now. Do you know that this could be the last time we meet as a church? When is the last time? The last time is whatever the last time is. When God says, you're done. I'm coming back. We have a salvation that's ready to be secure. Whether the Lord raptures and takes the church home right now, which He could at any moment, or He waits until you die and because He's waiting for some work to be done, whatever that last time is, you get to open your eyes into eternity and see such a great salvation. We've had a number of saints. Last week we had a service for George Byers, 102. Muriel Fritz graduated to be with the Lord. When was their last time? That was the last day on earth. When did they get to unpack that and open that present? Well, the last time they were on earth, the next thing they opened up was salvation. Imagine what they see. Imagine what they're experiencing. And He says, I've got this for you, and it will be fully revealed in that last time. And we need to be a people that live on the edge of the last time. I believe that we are closer to eternity than ever before in these days. They are troubling times on earth. And we need to work through it in order to be able to honor it. But we cannot fully enjoy that present of salvation and eternity until we're in the presence of God. Right now, we're looking forward to it. Think about Christmas morning. Many times there's presents that are in there. I remember as a kid, couldn't wait. And you think about being a parent or a grandparent, right? And you look at it and you have all the presents that are underneath the tree. And it's that look on the face of the kids on Christmas morning when they come down and they get to see all this stuff. And they finally get to open it up. And that present that they've been looking at for weeks and weeks, that's got their name on it, that you told them how many times, don't touch it. Don't shake it. We had a no-touch rule in our house. You couldn't pick it up. You couldn't shake it. My wife would torture our children. Because what she would do is she would have a code, and the kids would all have different names or whatever, and so sometimes, you know, it would be a TV show or whatever. And so she'd write, like, you know, different names on there, and it could be anything. Or she could write, you know, tree, rock, stump, or whatever, and she'd have a code, and the kids would go try to break the code because they couldn't even figure out which present was theirs. But they knew that there was something there for them. And we'd open up all the presents. That's the living hope. We don't fully understand it now, but there will come a last time, a day, when we get to open up that present completely. That salvation, that eternity. And we can praise God for that, especially when times are hard. Look at verses 6 through 9. He says to his readers, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for how long? A little while. The suffering that we experience right now compared to eternity is how long? A little while. He says, even though for a little while now, and if necessary, you've been distressed in these trials. You say, well, how long is this little while? Well, it's as long as God deems necessary. For the believer, there's some periods in our life where we go through these different trials and tribulation. You say, well, God, well, why? Verse 7 starts out with what's called a henna clause. Henna literally is a purpose clause. It means so that. This little trial, this thing that you're going through for a little while, God's allowing. Why? So that the quality of your faith will be revealed. Now, I wrestled with this, and I thought, okay, God, I really don't want to know the quality of my faith. God, I don't want to know how good my faith is. I'll just take it for granted that I've got it, and we'll just keep moving forward. God says, no. You need to know the quality of your faith, and that faith needs to grow. And in order for that faith to grow, you got to go through trials. So my conversation with God this week was, God, you already know the quality of my faith. Why do I need to know the quality of my faith? And God said to me quietly, just suck it up. Honest conversation. But the quality of my faith grows as I watch God work through the different trials and tribulations and the things, which causes me to trust in Him more, which causes me to have more joy, to be able to praise Him more because I see the value of what He's doing. For these believers, Peter says, look, at your faith is being tested like gold. When gold is tested, what happens? What do you have to use to get gold to be tested and proven? Fire. Superheated. And then what happens? They take off the dross, the impurities, leaving the purity of the gold. Do you understand that gold, at some point, with enough heat, can go away? The most precious metal that we have, that we can compare this to, with a value, if you put enough heat to it, it will go away. What's interesting to me is as you read this, he says, but your faith, though tested, will never go away. It's always there, and with the heat comes great value. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says this, consider it joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what?
Endurance.
How can I have a living hope that's growing? It's a living hope that's being tested. And I can trust in it. I guarantee you that the trials that you're experiencing now compared to the trials that you experienced when you were a young Christian are way different. They're more intense. And if you would have been hit as a young Christian with the trials that you're going through right now, they potentially would have wiped you out. But you grow up in endurance to be able to endure those trials. Mature Christians, when they look at difficulties right now, and I love our senior saints because they look at life today and they're going, yeah, it's hard, but you can get through it. And our young teenagers and millennials are going, oh no, the world's coming to an end. Our senior saints are going, bless your heart, trust in God. Why? Because they've endured. They've been able to push through it. And we can rejoice God for these trials. We can also rejoice God for that purification. We are being tested by fire to see that which will endure, that which moves us forward, that which we are capable of. And then I pray to God, God, I don't want to know what I'm capable of. And God says, suck it up. You need to keep going. Because if you quit, then others are going to quit. You set the standard. What is the church like that endures? They become a testimony of God's faithfulness. They represent living hope. Does the world today need a living hope? Yes. If you, church, walk around all befuddled because of everything that's going on, then the unbeliever is going to look at you and say, you say you trust in God, but now you're walking around like everybody else with your chin down. Why should I trust in your God? He's not helping you. And for that, then we have to repent. And we have to say, God, forgive me for not having faith in you during these dark times. I should be praising you and trusting in you for these things. It's been said, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. It shows us what we're made of. But the other thing that hard times do is they help us to look forward to a salvation. Do you really want to be comfortable in this world? There is a false doctrine that's being taught in churches today that God has determined that you would have a good life on this earth. Enjoy this good life. God wants you to be in prosperity, and He wants you to have the good life, and that is false. God doesn't want you necessarily to have the good life and be comfortable as if this was heaven. God wants you to have the godly life. And for that, there is a comparison. Trials teach us to look forward to that salvation, to look forward to see Jesus, to be able to see that resurrection. There was a guy by the name of Thomas who was struggling to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. You know the account. It was the Sunday after the resurrection, and Thomas was with the disciples, and the guys had been saying, hey, we've seen Jesus. And Thomas like, nah, I don't think so. I'm not going to believe until I stick my finger in the holes. I love Jesus. He is so cool. He just waits for that Sunday night, and he comes in, and he pops in the room, and he says, here, Thomas, go ahead, stick him in. And in John chapter 20, verses 26 to 29, says this, after 8 days, the disciples were again outside Thomas with him. Jesus came to the doors, having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here in my hand and put it in my side. And no, do not be unbelieving." That is a present active imperative. It says, stop your unbelieving right now in your condition. And so within this, but believing, Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe." We are blessed when we believe. Though we don't see him, we believe. How do we believe? Because of the Spirit of God that has been given to us. That confirms in our heart that salvation, that confirms in our heart that living hope. When you become hopeless, stop, look inward, and pray and say, "God, I'm really struggling right now in this trial and in these circumstances, and I feel like everything's pushing in. Help me to stop my unbelieving, but believe." And I guarantee you that the Spirit of God will confirm in your heart that faith. That faith that, as Peter says, will lead to an inexpressible joy, verse 8, full of joy. Notice, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That faith that moves you forward and says, "I've got eternity in my hand. If I was to die right now, I'm good with it." And I say that right now because I'm healthy and I'm standing before you. But the believer that is lying on the deathbed, ready to take their last breath, can also say that and say, "God, I'm good. I'm ready to go." And I've seen believers do that with that great confidence. I've also seen unbelievers on their deathbed struggle in that sense of hopelessness. And it's a horrible sight. We can praise God for giving us that strong living hope in Jesus Christ because what he's done. But the last thing I want to show you in Peter's letter is this. You are a people of great privilege. Believers, we can praise God because we are benefactors right now of something that Old Testament prophets and angels cannot experience. As Peter would write to these guys who were being persecuted at this time, he says, "Look it, God has given us this great salvation through Jesus." And there were prophets that look forward to this. In verse 10 he says, "And as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches of inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them indicating the predicted sufferings." In other words, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, they looked, they knew the Messiah was coming. They knew that the Messiah would suffer. They knew the Messiah would die on the cross for the sins of the world, but they would never experience it. They searched the Scriptures. When is that going to happen? And they all died in faith, believing in a promise that they hadn't received yet, as of yet, Hebrews 11. They were looking for that. In fact, verse 13 says this, "All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them," note, "from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles in the earth." You want to talk about some people struggling. They had just the Word of God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the resurrected Christ to trust in, and they trusted and they made it through. Church, we are blessed because we have the totality of the Scriptures. We have the knowledge, the historical knowledge that Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to this earth, added to himself humanity, suffered in our stead, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again 3 days later and was physically witnessed by over 500 witnesses and ascended into heaven. And said, "Everyone that believes in me will have eternal life." That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Oh, and by the way, just so that you'll make it through, I must go, but I will send a comforter who will take up residence within you, the Holy Spirit. and carry you forward. Is there a reason for us to be hopeless in this day and age as a Christ follower? The answer is absolutely no. The Old Testament prophets, they didn't get to benefit from the things that we see and the things that we experience. And we can praise God for the time that we live in, this age of grace. We can praise God and worship Him for that. To know that all of this was done, and all of this was done to set up the gospel that was preached to you. There's a lot of people out there that don't have hope. How do you give them hope? Peter says, preach the gospel. How do we give the hopeless hope? Preach the gospel. Take the gospel to them. Take the writings of God's word and bring that gospel message to them. That the Holy Spirit sent from heaven would minister the gospel to their heart. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all the things that are going on, perhaps we should stop arguing and discussing about the validity of all of the tests and all of the things of government, and maybe our conversation should change and we talk about Jesus. And we share that gospel and turn the conversation around. Another group of people that he mentions at the end that talks about how privileged we are in comparison are the angels. Notice it says, these things the angels long to look. Do you realize that you are so special that Jesus did not come and die on the cross for angels? Angels witness the love and the mercy and the power of God as God relates to mankind. And all they can ever do is witness it. We are the benefactors of God's mercy and God's love. Angels get to watch. You are an object lesson that teaches the angels about God's love. What do angels do when they watch God's love and God's mercy in action? Well, you can turn over into Revelation and take a glimpse in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 into the throne room of God. And the angels are worshiping God, praising Him. Why? Because He gave to mankind a living hope and His love. You are the object of God's love. God loves you. And God wants you to be in heaven with Him. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And having received that love and that forgiveness and that mercy, we have a living hope that is growing every day that we get closer to eternity. And we can be praising God for that. And we can honor Him because He's blessed us with new life. He's blessed us with a living hope to make it through tough times. And He's blessed you right now, you personally, in this day and age, in a manner that others have not even experienced. You're that special. That's why we praise Him. Maybe we should do that now. Let's pray. God, we thank You for that living hope that You've given to us. You've affirmed it. You've affirmed it through the Holy Spirit. You've given us this living hope through Your Son, Jesus, that everyone that puts their faith and trust in You has that living hope. Father, I pray for those that are watching this online right now. If there's anyone watching this even in this room, that does not have that living hope. Maybe they're struggling in light of the circumstances, the situations. And if that's you, confess that to God. Say, God, I'm struggling. I'm hopeless right now. The only way I can have hope is if You give it to me. And the only hope I have is if You forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. That I would have an inheritance reserved in heaven. That the day I take my last breath here, I'll be with You. I accept You, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. God, please give me new life. Father, I pray that You would continue to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and a living hope. And every day we would praise you for that living hope. We thank you. We praise you for our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and praise the Lord.
World is yours and everything in it. It's all at your command. There is no end to your domain. The planets shake, the galaxies tremble, they turn within your hands. There is no end to your domain. No height or depth you don't sustain. Great in all the earth is your glory, O God. The universe declares how amazing you are. Over history and eternity, you alone are Lord and King. The world is yours and everything in it. It's all at your command. There is no end to your domain. No height or depth you don't sustain. Great in all the earth is your glory, O God. The universe declares how amazing you are. Over history and eternity, you alone are Lord and King. There is none like you.
Thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you are loving, that you are merciful. God, that you never give up on us, that your loving kindness is long-suffering, it lasts forever. God, may we hang on to the fact that you never give up on us, and therefore, we should never give up on you. Lord, this world is falling apart. But you knew it would fall apart because of sin and death. And that's why you brought redemption. For those that may have prayed that prayer today to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, let us know. Let us know that you've made that decision to follow Christ. We want to talk with you. God, as we go out this week, may we bring hope to a hopeless generation, to a hopeless world. God, may you lift our spirits up by the power of your Spirit as we focus on you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And God, most importantly, may everything that we say and do be Christ-honoring. and make you smile. We thank you and we praise you for our time. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are traveling home from the beach. May they come home also refreshed and safe. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Praise Jesus. Have a blessed week.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.